remembering. For those who are ready, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll just go straight into the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 25. We'll be reading from here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 25. Let's stand as we give reverence to the Word of God, as we read it. I'll read verse 23, you read verse 24, and then we'll read verse 25 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. The Bible reads for us, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Verse 24. Verse 25 together. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for the bringing of the blessed brethren, Lord, the beloved brethren together to remember the Lord's Supper this evening. Lord, even before that, as we hear your word with regards to memory and remembering, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I believe many of us, in fact, all of us who have trusted Jesus can remember the day, Father, when we met you through a friend, perhaps it's through someone who cared enough to share the love of Jesus. And as a result, Father, we have received that grace, we have received the salvation, and we've moved on. And Father, we pray this evening as we just learn of some things that in your Bible you've taught us that we have to remember. We ask you, Lord, to impress this deeply into our hearts. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight. We know that thy word is going to touch someone. Because in the book of Isaiah 55, Lord, the Bible tells us thy word will not return unto you void. That every time the word of God goes forth, there is life attached to it. And Lord, it will go and accomplish that which you will. And so, Father, I pray that if there's someone, Lord, who need the word today, Lord, that you will meet that need in a special way. Thank you, Father. We pray for those brothers who are still on their way. We pray you bring them quickly, that nothing hindered them, Lord, from coming into your presence to hear your word. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a powerful and mighty way. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Twice in this particular three-verse passage that we read, Jesus said that the things that we are going to do later in the Lord's Supper, the purpose is to do this too in remembrance of me. The word remembrance there has the idea of recollection. Recollection, okay? Bringing back into the memory something that is that's not there. Alright? How many of you remember what you ate for dinner? Put out your hand. It's a trick question for some people because especially you work with some children who may be autistic or children who may attention deficit, and they see, they come to the clinic two hours later and as a way of jogging their memory and getting them more focused. Say, "What do you eat for lunch?" "Don't know." "What? It's 1.5 hours, you know, you cannot remember." And sometimes we, how many of you remember what you ate for dinner yesterday night? Joseph, can you remember what you had for dinner yesterday night? Okay, make it easier. What do you have for breakfast this morning? Be shy. Which one you want to help your brother? The one to help your brother. Can you remember? Bihun. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Sometimes we do forget, right? But you know what? God knows we are forgetful people. We are forgetful people. And many times we forget, okay, if you look at how people remember, the reason why we forget is because we're not paying attention to. Or there are other things that distract us from remembering, okay? And I believe you read many times in the scriptures, God always tells the children of Israel, and also now in the New Testament, "I want to give you certain things to remember me by." Because otherwise, as Christians, we will forget, Okay. And so, this is a time of year. Next week will be a time of recollection. I hope, I don't know about you, but I do a lot of reflection and things. Lord, how has the year been? And what are the things I've learned? And next week will be a time where we thank God for all the things He's done for us. Just want to glean from Scripture, what are some things that God specifically tells us we must remember? Okay? So there are a few things. Number one, we need to remember the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's look at John chapter 15, verse 20 first. remember chapter... John chapter 15, verse 20. Okay, let's read that verse together. Ready? One, two, go. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Okay, the phrase that Jesus started off with, remember the word that I said unto you. In the book of Matthew 28, verse 20, you don't have to turn there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That was an instruction Jesus gave specifically to the church, that you are to teach the disciples to observe on a regular basis what I have taught you. The book of Jude 1:17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Jude is actually one book before Revelation. Because of the increasing apostasy, the increasing people who are not going to follow the word of God, the apostle Jude told the Christians, I want you to remember the apostolic doctrine which you have been taught. Okay? Let's turn to Amos chapter 8, verse 11. I can tell you today, and I'm sure you agree with me, not many people want to hear the words of the Lord Jesus today. Not many. They may want to hear about the sensational parts, like the Gospel of Judas, for example, or the Da Vinci Code, and all these sensational things. Okay, was Mary Magdalene the wife of Jesus? That kind of thing. All these sensational conspiracy theories. They're very fascinated, but they do not want to hear what Jesus said himself. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but it is going to be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." Notice this, it's not a famine of the words of the Lord. In other words, the word of God is still prevalent. The prophets preach very hard. But you know, God says, I'm going to send a famine that people are not going to be interested in hearing the word of the Lord anymore. They are interested in discussing the word of the Lord. They're interested in talking about the word, but not interested in hearing what God has to say. The time is coming also that people only want to hear the things they want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul prophesies to Tim, there will come a time that when you teach what is right, people will argue you at every point. They will not want to hear. They say, are you sure that's what God says? But what about this? They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. There was a prevalence of teaching, so-called on the internet and all that. But many Christians have gone down the track of listening to what they like to hear rather than what thus saith the Lord. Does that make sense? And in 2 Timothy 4:4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. I was talking to one I shared with you before. There was a couple who visited us, I think, I can't remember, 1-2 years ago. And he was talking a lot about, he's talking about this thing about blood and death, okay? And Calvinistic teaching. And the first thing he asked me, did you read John MacArthur? I said, yeah, well, I only read Charismatic Chaos. I think that was a very good treatment of the whole charismatic phenomenon. But then he began to say, I think you need to read, and as John MacArthur expounded death and all that. Then I just told him, Point blank, I think you need to read more of the Bible than John MacArthur. Because you won't become a Calvinist or believe in that if you read the Bible. He never came back after that. Many people, interestingly, even pastors, have fallen into the trap of reading teachers because they were so stimulated by intellectualism that they would leave what is right. I can tell you, I thank God I'm not a very patient reader. I thank God that God has fixed me. Many things I learned in my pastorate, what is a Calvinist and what they believe, I didn't really know because it's not in the Bible. You cannot read the Bible and become a Calvinist. You can read the Bible and become a Biblicist. In a world today that no longer holds to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are, Bethel Baptist Church, can I challenge you? May we always remember what Jesus said in this book. Always. And if you're not too sure, don't discuss it, just obey it. Now that's a hard thing for some people, because it goes against what they think. But we need to remember the words that Jesus has given to us. Just a few things he wants us to remember. Number one, in John 15 verse 20, he mentioned that the servant is not greater than his Lord. Number one, he wants us to be servants for him and towards each other. Alright, these are specific instructions Jesus has given us. He's given us many. I just give you a few just to jog our thinking about what he's told us to do. Alright, he wants us to be servants for him and towards each other. That is given in the Bible. John 13, 34, 35, he wants us to love one another the same way he loves us. Not how we think we should love one another. In the way that Jesus loved us, he says, I want you to love each other the same way I love you. Because the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? How did Jesus love us? He gave his life. It means he loved us sacrificially. We need to be willing to go out of the way for a brethren. And specifically for brethren, this is what Jesus says. So that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Okay? We need to love one another the same way he loves us. Another thing he wants us to learn in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. If you want to turn there, you can. Paul says, I have shown you all things, that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I would not hide this fact from you. As pastor, I want Ambassador Baptist Church to always be a giving church. Always. You know why? We will receive God's blessings more. Whether it's giving of time, whether it's giving of talent, whether it's giving of financial, whether it's giving. Once we give, God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm not saying, therefore, we don't encourage one another and give gifts to encourage one another. I'm not saying that. But if one of the characteristics that I would like Ambassador Baptist Church to be is, in the spirit of the Bible, that we be more givers, more than wanting to receive. But can I say this? The more you give, God says, I'm going to pay you back 100-fold when we meet him. Okay? Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? In other words of the Lord Jesus that Paul instructs us to remember, Acts 20, verse 31, I just read, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. We need to remember the example of Paul to consistently warn our brethren of the Lord's words, his instruction, and how we need to live for him. We are each other's keeper. You and I have blind spots. We are to keep a watch out for one another. Even as pastor, there may be certain things. I'm thankful for some of the men who say, Pastor, I think you should do this. I thank God for some men who are willing to just tell me. And you know what? I'm just as human as you guys are. And we need one another to keep our lives straight before the Lord. Okay? And as we grow in Ambassador, may we be willing to say, thank you for telling me that. Rather than going into a, if it's wrong, then just thank God for the brethren who at least tried. But if it's right, then we take steps to correct that. Okay? Paul says, for 3 years, he consistently warned the elders about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, these are some words. Okay, number one, we need to remember the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one. Number two, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11:2. Another thing we need to remember. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Let me just read. I praise you, brethren. Paul is praising the Corinthian church. That ye remember me in all things. We'll stop there. Paul actually praised the brethren because they actually remembered him. They actually remembered him. Okay? Number two, we need to remember our missionaries and those who serve the Lord. I think one of the things I must say that we didn't do a lot for our missionaries. And one of the things the Lord has impressed upon my heart is be serious about. We only support three. I think we can do more than what we're doing. By praying, perhaps. And maybe I'll just throw it out there. Let's practice what the scriptures teach. Perhaps you all can pray about it. I'd like our church families, perhaps one family to adopt one, like maybe one person. Actually, we wanted it some time back, but I kind of fizzled out. But I want us to pray about if one family can actually adopt one missionary family. And just be that liaison, meaning that you just communicate, email, and anything that the missionary may need or may go through problems or that they need. For example, maybe for Brother So, my Brother Desmond's family is in charge of taking care of Brother So's family. So whatever happens, let's say, you don't have to. But whatever happens there, Brother Desmond's family will be the first to know and he'll feedback to us. And then another family can take care of Brother Cloud, another family can take care of Pastor Jason Sumatra, and more or less keep in touch so that as we actually have people watching out for our family. So let's pray about that. And I'll probably include that in the plan for next year, that we want to actively, not just giving the money, all right? We want to show them that, hey, we're with you, and if there's certain things that they need, that we can actually, as a church, then through that particular family, taking care of the missionary, to actually support them, all right? So we need to remember the missionaries. Yeah, we pray for them. I think that's all we do. And only about the only person that communicates with them is when Sister Felicia sends the thing there. I think we need to do more than that. Alright? In obedience to the scriptures. So we need to remember our missionaries and those who serve the Lord. Okay? So another thing we need to remember, let's move on, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul says that he was instructed that they would remember the poor. We need to remember the poor. The next one. If I look across, I don't think any of us are poor. There was one time I had this friend. Her name is Gyot Lan. And Gyot Lan was talking to another friend. I think another friend was Richard. And so Gyot Lan was kind of lamenting, how very poor, can't afford anything. And interestingly, the guy Richard was actually not as well off compared to Gyot Lan. And he was probably in his situation a little bit wiser. So he asked Gyot Lan, he said, do you have a fridge at home? I said, yeah. Do you have fans at home? I said, yeah. Do you have a bed at home? I said, yeah. Then you're not poor. Then you're not poor. Because there are some families who don't have any of these basic so-called necessities that they need. Well, you know, as Christians, we need always to remember the poor. And I'm thankful because an ambassador, we've always had that giving heart. I'm thankful for that. And no matter, whenever we see a need, I can tell you, the children that come in, some of them can't afford to pay. And some of the backgrounds, but after a while, you find that someone has already given or donated or given some money so that this particular child can come for VBS. Or even in the youth camp, there are some people who really feel that even that the amount of money for the youth camp they cannot afford. But it's already been covered. We need to remember. Can I say this? Those people who will never know who gave, but I think at least for the youth camp, the feedback from the person who came as a result of someone supporting that, and he said, he's interesting, he actually said, I thank God I can meet so many new friends. And because by nature he's quite a loner, no one actually plays with him. But you know what? The youth of our church were willing to reach out. He came for camp and was able to make friends. And you know what? If I'm not wrong, he actually prayed to trust Christ. I'm not too sure. But you know, we need to follow up on that. We need to remember the poor. in our church. I'm thankful for those, for the box that we had to send to the Philippines. You know, I know the Philippines, we do have very, very poor children who don't even have. And for the first time in my life, when me and my wife went to Pangasinan, we've never thought of buying one diaper. We always buy like diapers, it's like buy 40 or 28. And this family just buy one diaper. And what they do is they reuse it. Until they cannot reuse it, throw it away. Poor. And we thank God we don't have that kind of poverty as much as, maybe not as pronounced, we have a lot of governments, but as Christians, we need always to look out for the poor. Not about those physically poor, materially poor, okay? So next thing that Jesus wants us to remember is in Ephesians 5 verse 8, we need to remember where we came from. We need to remember where we came from. What does that mean? This is a theme verse for the youth camp. For ye were sometimes darkness. The word past tense, you were sometimes darkness. That means in the past, you were in darkness. And the idea of darkness always has to do with sin. You were sinful, you were trapped by sin. But you know what? Further study into this, it's not just we are in darkness. But the interesting thing, the Bible says, ye were sometimes darkness. That means you were not only in darkness, you were darkness. You were actually influencing other people to do wrong because you were darkness. Does that make sense? I think the youth will understand this. In the past, we not only were in darkness, we were also darkness whereby we can influence someone to do wrong. That's what the scriptures teach. But now, are ye light in the Lord? You know, I always remind us Christians, you must always remember where Jesus saved you from. If you ever forget that, you will always forget a gracious Redeemer and Savior. We need to always remember where we came from. Because that will keep us from being proud. It will keep us from being proud. When we know, God, I don't deserve what you gave me. Thank you for saving me. Lord, I'm moving on for you. Always constantly remind. If you read the epistles of Paul, you will find that he always reflect on the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 19. He always puts the cross before him. And that's what we need to do. Always remember the cross. Some of you, after your O-level, after your A-level, after your whatever, you're going to go further to studies. I can tell you, the more you go into the world, you're going to get more distracted. Yeah, parents, you have work. I've spoken to some of the men, they wish that they can have a little bit more guarded time to at least live their Christian life, but there's so many responsibilities of their work. You know, one thing, don't forget the cross. Always keep the cross before you. Remember where you came from. Alright? The next thing we need to remember, and I think this is encouragement, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17. Let's turn there. Hebrews 10 verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Let's read this. And this is encouragement. Hebrews 10, 17. Ready? 1, 2, go. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. We need to remember that God remembers our sins no more. The reason why I bring this up is it's such an encouragement because many Christians carry the guilt of sins forgiven still on themselves. Guilt is not a feeling. Okay? People can say, I feel guilty, but they may not necessarily be guilty. Does that make sense? Alright? Guilt is a state. If I killed someone, I think many years ago I shared this, in Port Arthur of Tasmania, there was one guy who was a loner, about 30 years old. Thank God, we already left that place. I think it happened in 1995. We went for honeymoon there in 1995, in November. About 6 weeks later, there was this guy in Port Arthur went to a restaurant and opened fire and killed 30 people in the restaurant. All right. When he was sentenced to life in prison because there's no capital punishment in Australia, you know what's his response? Sentence you to life in prison? He smiled. Was he guilty? Was he guilty for killing the people? Yes. Did he feel guilty? No. Okay? But you know, Christians are the other way. When Jesus has forgiven us, we still carry that guilt. And therefore, we need to remember God remembers our sins no more. Question for you, can God forget? Can God forget? Can God actually forget? He can't. He's all-knowing. The Bible, when he says God remembers our sin no more, that means although it's in his mind, he knows it, he will no longer use it against us. Does that make sense? Because it's forgiven. And he says, I'm not going to bring it up anymore because it's over. Okay? It's over means it's over as far as God is concerned. Do you realize when we, in our dealings with each other, tell it's over means it's over, you give the person a second chance to move on. Okay? And this is an encouragement for those Christians who in their hearts feel, I think many Christians sometimes feel condemned by their sin. For young people, old people, but when you're condemned and you've confessed your sin, remember God says, it's just as if you've never sinned. That's our condition before God. All right. The next thing we need to remember, we are free in Christ. Remember that God remembers our sins no more. No more guilt, that means no more fear. Okay? Any questions after that? Just going in some of the remembering things that God wants us to remember. Next one, we need to remember to repent of our sins. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, or rather Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus was convicted by the Lord Jesus Christ about certain sins in their life. Okay? They have left their first love. And so Jesus told them, remember where you left off and repent. When there is sin in our lives, we need to remember to repent. Can I say this? Don't play with sin. Don't play with sin. Deal with it straight. Even though you don't feel like it, deal with it. Even though the whole world says it's okay, deal with it if you know it's sin. When your friends, you may lose all the faith in the world, deal with it. Because sin is like a cobra in your service balcony. No one wants to keep a cobra in it. No? How many of you like to keep a cobra? Do you like to keep a cobra in your house? That's a cobra. Would you like a cobra? No. Why? Why don't you like a cobra? Quite a nice toy, you know, quite long. Can be quite spongy sometimes. Which is true of sin, isn't it? Pleasurable for a season. Only when he strikes. And then we fall. When there's sin, deal with it. Remember to repent of our sin. Don't just say, God, forgive me. Do all you can to fight that sin, to renounce it, to fight it, to give no place for it. Because a little sin will leaven the whole lump. All right? Remember, according to what Jesus says, we need to repent of our sin, clearly confess it, and forsake them. Why? Because in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. The word regard means if I consider it, if I know it's sin, if I know it's there, I don't deal with it, I rationalize it away, I give reasons why it's okay. God says, if you consider that, God says, don't waste your breath praying, I'm not going to listen to you. That's what the Bible says. If I consider sin in my heart, God's not going to hear me. Okay? And you know, I hope all of us will have the determination to deal with sin, whether it's individually, corporately as a church. We need to deal with that. But we need to be tender when we're dealing with people in their sin. But we need to deal hard with sin, alright? The next one we need to remember, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The next thing we need to remember is those who rule over you. In the context, it refers to the spiritual elders of the church, the pastors. But children, you need to remember who rules over you in your families. Because the Bible says, remember then, that rule. In the context I'm saying, in the context of Hebrews 13, it refers to pastors in the church. But you know, the principle of authority is very clear in the Bible. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, because there's no other powers except those that are ordained by God. And he who resisted the power resisteth what? The ordinance of God. The word ordinance means the institution of God. So your children, in application, when you disobey your parents, you are disobeying the very institution that God set in place to protect you, to help you. Does that make sense? Children, you need to grow up with this thinking. There is always someone I need to answer to. We don't want to live like, I use the phrase monkeys. If you believe in evolution, you live by the law of the jungle. What a law of the jungle? Do what you want. No, we live by the law of the Creator. There is someone over us. That's why I remember them. And when we realize these people God put over us not to make our lives terrible, sometimes we feel that they, our parents made our life difficult. But no. Knowing all the parents here, they have a heart of love for every child in the family. And therefore, why don't you just listen to someone who loves us? And the Bible says, remember them has the idea of take note of them. Put them in your mind. You know, children, what you need to do is pray for dad when he's at work. Pray for mom when if she has to go out and do certain things. Be helpful. Remember that. Don't always keep the cartoon in your mind. Don't always keep the, I want to do this thing. Remember them that have the rule over you. You know, I'm thankful for the men who remember me in prayer, in encouragement. And of course, you know, an ambassador over the years, received love offerings and all that. And many of them don't even want to sign their name. I want to say that those offerings are set apart for certain things as well. It's not just for myself or family. I do, I think me and my wife know what we do with it. But, you know, I really don't know how to handle this when people give, except to thank God and talk about that. I'll use it for certain things for the ministry. Because it shows someone cares enough, thinks enough about us to drop something in there for us. There's an encouragement that you're not alone. I don't need to know, and sometimes I don't want to know because then that person will get full blessings from God, amen? But you know, this scripture is so, remember them, and for me and my family, we feel that, and we are thankful. And whoever will be the pastor next, and whoever that will rise up and serve, may we continue to also remember them who have to take that responsibility. Children, don't remember your parents. Love them with all your hearts. Because I can tell you, you know what? They don't stay up awake at night to think how to make our lives miserable. In fact, they think, Lord, what? How do I help my child? How? Or what? They take responsibility. So the Bible says, remember those who rule over you. Sunday school teachers as well. All right, those are people who rule over the little ones. The little ones, can I say, Sunday school teachers, you have it tough because it may be a few years before they understand what it means to. All they do is give you a hard time. All right, and Jeremiah is taking care of the lambs, and there's a consistent person who always makes life difficult. But you know what? As you grow, you should be able to understand how to remember our Sunday school teachers as well. And of course, there are other people, those who rule over us. And the Bible says, remember them which have the rule, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Imitate their faith. If daddy prays, oh, then I need to pray too, because daddy says it's important. So I see daddy pray. Daddy reads the word, then I need, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation. That's what the scriptures teach us. And then, the last one, and as we partake the Lord's Supper, we need to remember always what Jesus has done for us and his second coming. So of course, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 24-25, I just read, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. When we remember what Jesus has done for us, two things. Number one, the broken body. The broken body represents the punishment for our sins and iniquities. What Jesus went through with the scourging and the beard being plucked out with the thorns being jammed on the head, with the stripes on the back, with the nails going through the hands and then the side and his ankles, with the ridicule and insults. Those were the things that we deserve in hell forever. Jesus took it on himself. The broken body. Number one. Number two, we need to remember the shed blood. The broken body is the punishment for our sins. The shed blood is the penalty payment for our sins and iniquities. Without it, we will never have eternal life. Because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, I believe. 5 or 8. So, we need to remember the very basis of our salvation. But also we need to remember His second coming. For as often as you do this, in remembrance of me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you read verse 25. So in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till He comes. Till the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of the second coming as we remember this. So what do we do as we remember the second coming? So what should we do as we remember the second coming? Anyone? I learned this from evangelist Ron Comfort. He said, every time you study the second coming chapters, after the apostles or Jesus would talk about the second coming, there's always an application in view of the second coming. Okay, so what should we do to remember the second coming of Christ? Anyone? As we know, Jesus is coming now, right? So what should we be doing to keep the remembering of the second coming? Anyone? Sorry? Okay, watch and pray that we fall not into temptation. Okay, what else? Anyone else? Sorry? Huh? Okay, be holy in all manner of conversations. Okay, I just read 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and holiness? As we see the coming of Christ, Christians ought to get more set apart. That's what 2 Peter 3:11. We need to stay further away from the world. Why? I like this. I was actually reading about the Baptist bride, a lot of things happening. And this particular author said, because we are the espoused bride to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We are the espoused bride, right? We have no time for other boyfriends anymore. We got no time to make a date with Tom, Dick, or Harry anymore. Of these people of this world anymore. Why? We are busy preparing ourselves for the wedding ceremony. Amen? For the actual time that Jesus will catch us up. We have no time to play a fool with the things of this world anymore. And the closer the Lord Jesus is going to come, we need to be more set apart. Further and further away the world. We need to draw such a distinction between the world and ourselves that it's very clear that we are a peculiar people, a set apart people. For a special purpose for God. Well, it's very interesting because I was just thinking through this about being set apart. I think I shared before, is it Fen Tian Wei? Yeah, I want to say Fen Tian Feng. Not Tian Feng, it's Tian Wei. Alright? When Fen Tian Wei is from which country? Anyone? Fen Tian Wei is from which country? It's from China, right? But when she was, when she came here, she took on Singaporean citizenship as a Chinese. Peddler, he wore the Singapore badge. He ate Singapore food. He lived in Singapore houses. Carried the Singapore flag. And when she won a silver medal in the Olympic Games, she gave glory to who? China? No. Singapore. Why? She's from China. Because she's been set apart. For who? Singapore. Christians, who are you set apart for? Why are we wanting to have such close association with the world? Not talking about being weirdos, okay? Talking about being able to say, Lord, I'm set apart for you. Clearly. The more, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we need to put such a distance between ourselves and the world that the world will clearly see that we are Christians. And it's interesting because some people have actually said, are you Christians? And some people have identified us as Christians just by simply by the way we dress. Why do we focus on dressing? Because today is a dividing line for the genuine Christian and those who will follow the fashions of this world. And we need to be very clear on that. As the Lord Jesus Christ comes, another thing we need to do to remember is coming, Luke 19, verse 13. Let's turn there. Just two more verses and we're finished. Luke 13 and verse 19. Luke 13 and verse 19, the Bible says, let's read together. Okay, ready? 1, Luke 13, 19. Ready? 1, 2, go. Sorry, Luke 19, 13. Is that correct? Sorry, I'm confused. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke 19, verse 13. My eyes is crossed. The Bible says, let's read. And he called. Ready? 1, 2, go. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. The context of Luke 19, we know, is Jesus giving the parable to say he's going to leave for a moment, a while, and he gave unto his servants 10 pounds, and say what? Occupy till I come. Every Christian before the coming of Christ should be busy in the Lord's work. Every Christian. That's what Jesus said. We need to be busy in the Lord's work, not pursuing our own ends. Because it's what Jesus said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Yes, we have our duties, we must be very clear. We have duties as a father, as a mother, as a worker, as an employee. You have your duties, but you know what you do with your spare time? Occupy till I come. Be involved in the ministry of God. When Jesus Christ comes, I don't know about you, how many of you have helpers before? How many of you have mates before? Some of you may have mates before. How would you feel when you come back from your work and your mate is watching TV? What is your thinking? Oh, yeah, maybe your mate is making a Milo for herself. And then the whole place is still a mess. Or the mate is kind of handphone, you know, in the corridor. Hi, ma'am. Hang on, half 1 minute. Doing. Oh, what do you think? What makes us think that the Lord Jesus Christ will be pleased? We're not doing anything when he comes home. I'm thankful the ambassador is trying, by God's grace, bit by bit, taking on things that will serve Christ as we go along. But please understand this. Jesus' instruction before he comes is, occupy till I come. We need to find a place of service. That's the Lord's word. Just one more verse and we'll be finished. 1 John chapter 3. Okay, how do you remember his second coming? Till he comes, we need to be holy and set apart. We need to occupy till he comes. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Okay? So, here, with the hope of the coming of Christ, that one day we will be like him, you know, we are actively preparing ourselves, getting rid of sin in our lives, and putting on Christ on a daily basis. This is what Jesus wants us to remember his coming. If you have the hope of the second coming, you won't have time to the boyfriends of this world. We want to be set apart, we want to deal with sin, we want to grow, we want to be serving Christ till he comes. As we close, as the Lord asks us to remember certain things in our lives, I can tell you 2014 will be a big challenge. We have multiple challenges, which I will share a little bit on watch night. Broad direction, I believe the Lord wants ambassador to go. I hope you will be here, encourage the members to come. And I believe God wants us to. The challenges. Right now, our application for a new place is still at URA. Latest I heard was the owners updated me that URA is seriously considering our evaluation and seriously evaluating what we have presented to them, and they are still wanting to ask some questions. So it's not a complete no yet. And so there are God's people, we need to pray. I can tell you whether we win or lose, it depends on the Lord. But you know what? Let's keep praying, because prayer changes things. We need to honor the Lord and do the right thing. And I believe God will honor us. All right? So let's remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. We were able to remember a couple of things, Lord, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know it's plain teaching of your word that You want us to remember because the time is coming where this world doesn't want to hear the words of Christ anymore. But yet, Lord, deep down in our hearts, may we not heap to ourselves teachers, but may we heap to ourselves the Holy Spirit as our teacher as we read the Word of God and study it for ourselves and be diligent students of the Word. That we will read it as the primary source of our spiritual input. Lord, that we will remember the poor, remember the missionaries, remember to deal with our sin, remember the Lord, the blessing of having sins forgiven completely. Remembering also, Father, the second coming. Remember also what you've done for us, that we might be set apart, that we might be holy unto you, that we might occupy till you come. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have used Ambassador in many ways this year. We thank you that you are still bringing non-believers, Lord. You are still bringing people who are seeking the truth, Lord. Father, I'm praying that as they come, that not only the truth will be preached from the pulpit, but the truth will be preached from our lives. That they will see the love of Jesus. They will see the light of Christ. And Father, that they will see the care of souls in our midst. Lord, I thank you for every member who have in their hearts prayed, contributed, served. And Lord, we pray that we will continue to press forward towards maturity in 2014. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do even as we partake the Lord's Supper. Father, we pray that you will just touch us in a special way. What we'll do is we'll just close our eyes, bow our heads, and keep on praying. And then after that, I'll pray, and then we'll go straight into the Lord's Supper. Let's prepare our hearts by confessing our sins. And then I'll pray. And then after that, we will read the church covenant, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. Father, once again, we thank you. I believe as believers pray, God, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we confess our sins. As we approach the table, as we come before in the Lord's Supper as a church, firstly, we ask and confess our sins before you individually. Lord, we know that many things may have happened in the day, in the week, maybe even sins that you have brought out, Lord, even in the course of this hour or so. The Father you want us to deal with. I ask your forgiveness, Lord, on behalf of each individual, that Father you forgive us of our sin and pride, perhaps selfishness, or sometimes an unkind word, a thought of foolishness. Lord, I pray you cleanse us from all unrighteousness individually. And then corporately as a church, we ask your forgiveness, Father, for the neglect of perhaps some areas. That you bring it to our minds that we will actively strengthen the things that remain. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness as a whole, Lord, as a corporate body, so that, Father, we might be presented as a chaste virgin before you. Thank you for every brethren, Lord, who is trying to live by your grace and your word and keeping short accounts with you that their lives may be pure before you. And I pray, Lord, corporately as a church, you will see us worthy. Lord, we praise you for the two souls you have given to us in the evangelistic meeting. Lord, we know the whole heaven rejoices when one repents, and yet there's two, Lord. I think you guys are going wild up there, Lord. But yet we thank you that we have joy in our hearts because, Father, that is what you want us to do. Father, I pray that you would continually use Ambassador. We want to remember, Lord, those people have found Catherine and Felicia, who's not saved still. And then we have Jeremy, Lord, the youth. And then we have Anqi and Feng Min, who has trusted Christ. We have David Tay, whom you have impressed, and he'll be coming this Sunday by your grace, and Henry, and Lord, and even my neighbors who came. Lord, there's so many people that still need Christ, and I pray you use us as that light. So, Lord, we thank you for the broken body of Christ, the shed blood, and that, Lord, it was through your sacrifice that we can have eternal life. Lord, I pray you would help us never, Lord, to forget what you've done for us and to remember you are coming soon. So, Lord, even as we partake the Lord's Supper right now, we pray for you to bless the meaning of this service into our hearts. They will always remember, Lord, who you are, what you've come to do for us, and one day you're coming back for us as well. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.